Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. I'd like to welcome everybody for another week on Blog Talk Radio. It is the 28th day of January of 2014 already. Jesse, how did we get 3 days from the end of the first month and Christmas and New Year's was just 10 days ago?
it's gone, man. It's unbelievable, dude. It really is.
It is just absolutely amazing. I just I don't understand how we're doing this. This is ridiculous. Jeez. Why don't you go ahead and do a disclaimer and we'll see about getting this show on the road here.
Yeah, man. Welcome, everybody. I know we got a lot of new callers coming in. It surprises me, though, the amount of calls we don't have on this and on the new station. Everybody listens after the fact. It's amazing. But anyway, guys, of course, we're going to have a lot of discussion of legal matters, but legal information, of course, and legal advice are two completely different things. And we don't advise anybody. If you want legal advice, please go seek out an attorney. And be careful when you do that even. So, but, again, you know, legal information that we're discussing tonight is a lot of fun, and we're going to delve into a lot of different subject matter, but generally we're discussing how we would handle it or how we have handled it in the past. Again, if you want legal advice, please be cautious, but go seek an attorney for sure. So, again, Dave, thank you again. John, everybody, do I see Larry on there? Where is he at?
No, Terry, I'm looking for Larry. I don't see Larry yet.
I don't either. I don't see. Yeah. I see Terry. I see John. I see me. I talked to him earlier today, man. I got. I can proceed now with my judgment. We've got the awards of the attorney's fees awarded. I had mine done for Danny for a while against. Oh, those idiots up there.
Tate and Curlin.
Yeah, Tate and Curlin. Man, I'm telling you, I've been up since 6 working, literally working all day. I've not slowed down a minute. Let me tell you guys, for you listeners, you always hear us say, try to be nice when you're talking and dealing with judges because the judges, if you get on their bad side, will make your life miserable. Absolutely will make your life miserable. Let me tell you what's happened in Tate and Curlin. First and foremost, it was a default judgment. So no answer, no nothing. It took the judge 2.5 months after the clerk granted the default to give me my default. Then the process through, because this is some going around counsel stuff, that I have Marshall involved here, we tried some things. Well, he aggravated this judge. So we put in for motion for attorney's fees for him. Excuse me. And what's happened? 3 months later, he takes the $8,400 that we submitted for attorney's fees and turns it into $4,500. So there is the most blatant, I don't like you, you've aggravated me, slap in the face I have seen from a judge to an attorney right before my very eyes. So just remember that. Try to stay on the good side of these guys. Don't aggravate them for no reason. If you have a right or you have a good reason, go for it. But just because they didn't rule in your favor or you didn't like the ruling doesn't, you know, stay on the good side because now he's going to have to deal with this guy for quite some time, and he's going to have to get past this guy's negativity. So just a reminder that they even come back on attorneys. It's not just a pro se litigant. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and there isn't any arguing with that either, is there?
No.
I mean, no. You could do an appeal on that, but do you think that would piss him off a little more?
Now listen here, okay? Listen to what I'm going to tell you, okay? If you appeal this, how long do you think it'll be before he actually responds? You have 14 days to appeal this to him, okay? So Think of what I just said. If it took him almost 4 months to award attorney's fees and he cut those in half, if you come back and appeal to him, how much longer do you think it's going to be?
Get out your camping gear.
Exactly. You ruffle the panties under that dress and it's going to cost you.
Wow.
There you go.
And it. Yeah, well, that's one of those, you know, you get some of these decisions, and some of them are just so blatant, and like you say, the even the attorneys can get on the wrong side of people, so it isn't just that the pro se litigants are the recipient of not so nice treatment. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, right.
Did he cut it based on the rate or the number of hours?
Hours and
the
rate.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Both.
Did he use the Lodestar?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they pretty much have to use a Lodestar.
Well, sometimes they just grant things. We've heard some callers that put in and they just grant stuff. They wave their wand and that's it. But if you piss them off, they've got tools.
Yeah, the wand becomes a hammer.
Yeah, yeah. So just, you know, so you guys are aware of it, that's all. I thought I'd share that with you because it can come back and bite you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Man.
Just be cautious, that's all.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll have to see how things work out. And, of course, did you get a chance to look at the information that I sent you about my case?
No. I have not had a chance to do anything. I've been trying to take care of all this. I got a summary judgment I filed against Cohen today. And, I'm running. I got the other one with Nation Star. I'm trying to get that one wrapped up, David, this week. And, it's just go.
I know you've been busy. I didn't know whether you'd had a chance to look at what I sent you. I've got some interesting stuff going on in one of my cases, and I sent you the documents on so you can look at it. I don't want to get into it here tonight, but suffice it to say that I'm going to have a pretty good time with an attorney that has made some serious errors already in just starting out. So, you know, we'll find out what happens with that.
But, yeah, there was a motion there that I didn't understand. That it's the one I read over the top of, and I didn't understand what that motion was, Dave.
Motion for bond. It's a motion for bond because I'm a vexatious litigator. So here we go again.
Oh goodness.
Wait till you go through those exhibits that are there. Read the motion. You'll see how corny it is, and then look at the exhibits, and you will find it very interesting. And quite bogus, actually. But I'm still looking for Larry. I still don't see Larry on the board here. If he's on the board, he's sneaked in under a... He's trying to remain incognito.
Is that you, Larry? Larry, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I unmuted him. He was right there, Dave.
Oh, okay. thank you for recognizing myself. I'm going to be hopping on my phone for just a minute. I'm almost home.
Oh, okay, buddy.
Okay. He had the other number. That's what it was. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, let me get Larry marked in our board here. Having to do things a little different with using Block Talk Radio, everybody. We'd like to get a little feedback. I surely would. As to people's thoughts on using the Blog Talk versus the Talk Shoe. Obviously, we had to go to the Blog Talk because of functional issues with Talk Shoe. And
I don't know if you've had any more issues, have you?
I have not had any more issues on my calls on Monday night, but then again, we went through periods where it worked okay, and then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, it quit. So
right. There
really is no way to know. I mean, we wouldn't know anything on that until a much longer period of time because it had been very intermittent and it had just been getting progressively worse over about a six-month period of time. So anyway, you know, any feedback that people can give us, yay or nay, with the change to Blog Talk would be appreciated. But anyway, the only thing, I don't really have any good news myself tonight. Midland quit calling me. That's not good news, but they quit at 110.
Yeah.
110
say,
calls.
That's not good news, yeah.
Yeah, but another outfit started picking up the slack. You know, somebody called me before and quit, and now they're in the 60s.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's just go figure. I don't know. It's really ridiculous. But anyway, if anybody has got good news, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone. And this is for good news only. We do that first before we get into Q&A. So if anybody has got good news, we want to know about that. We do have somebody with their hand raised here. I'm going to check 773 and see if you have any good news for us. 773, you were unmuted. Do you have some good news?
I have some really good news.
Oh, man, all right.
Okay, I helped my wife file this suit against a law firm debt collector out of Anaheim, California, and we have two defendants, the law office and also the owner of the law office. And it was funny because they got served January 3rd of this year, and they filed an ahead of the lawyer in Chicago here to file an appearance on the 22nd, and they filed a motion for enlargement of time, and we went today for that, and they didn't show.
Nice.
And this is in federal court. The only thing is that the judge I thought was kind of interesting because the judge, said that he's going to recall the case back up. They wasn't there. He recalled it up. They didn't show up again still. And anyway, we had a motion for default judgment already set for February 20th because I made a mistake and didn't do a proper serve. I did it through certified mail return receipt without doing the summons for 21-day notice. But anyway, he kept that up there, and he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them guys until the 14th. So he gave them the time anyway, but I couldn't say anything. I'm at the edge of my seat, like, oh, my God, I couldn't say anything, though, because I wanted my wife to say this one particular thing. So make a long story short, he gave them until the 14th to respond, and I'm saying to myself, how can he give them to the 14th if they're not there with their own motion? So it was interesting, but anyway, he said he's going to note that they failed to appear today. So I got them regardless. I call this a free card today. This is a free card.
Yeah, you know, the question is, though, and this is, I know you've never done this a whole lot, but I think I would have asked the judge, had I not appeared, would you have given me an additional 14 days?
Absolutely, and that's what I was telling my wife afterwards because I said, honey, if that was you, he wouldn't have given an additional 14 days.
Yeah, well, see, you should have called him out right then and right there on it.
Yeah, but I wish I could have got up and said anything, but I couldn't say anything. So.
Why,
but
your wife?
That's your wife's case, so you couldn't speak for her.
So why didn't she say it?
Well, you know, this is her first time, and I prepped her on some things, but that kind of threw me for off guard. So, but it still kind of turned out in the sense that in a good thing because, you know, that was to me was a free card because even in the event on the 14th, if they don't respond, how do you not show up to your own motion for an enlargement of time?
Well, they don't care.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, is looking pretty good. But I got some interesting stuff during the Q&A.
I would have definitely had to jump out of my seat and said, sir. I don't know if I could have bit my tongue, you know.
It was really hard for me not to, you know, for me to stay in that seat. It was really hard. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, you should. Were you out in the gallery or were you sitting next to the wife?
No, I was out in the gallery.
Oh, I would have said, sir, you know, is this normal court procedure? I'm just out here kind of watching it. I don't think that is.
Well, you know what, though? I think when you see guys coming in for other cases in orange jumpsuits, it kind of keeps you sitting still.
That never intimidates me. So, yeah, I don't, you know. I could care less. I could wear a jumpsuit, too. I look just as good as they do in one. It doesn't matter.
Well, those are the prisoners, though.
Yeah, I know what your point is. But that's good. But I think I would have had an issue. I really would. It's bugging me.
Yeah.
I'm not even on your end, and it's bugging me already. Damn
guys, oh,
man. I swear, doesn't that bug you, David, that these judges do that crap to the pro se?
Well,
I mean, just...
of course. You know, you made the very good point. I didn't even have to say anything. If the tables were turned, you wouldn't have gotten the benefit.
Right.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Because my wife asked
that
same question. She said, well, honey, you know what? If we had an attorney here, this wouldn't happen like this. I said, no, it wouldn't. Unbelievable.
Oh, no, it would have. It would have. There's no doubt about it, it would have. That attorney, you need to look it up, because I promise you that the other side and that judge are friends some way, somehow.
Well, this is out of town. This is out of, oh, you're talking about the attorney that's here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I don't know, but
I guarantee it.
It's pretty interesting.
I would do a background on that judge, find out where he used to work or, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, but I'll bring it up a little deeper in the Q&A.
Okay, good enough, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All righty, thank you.
Dookie, that is.
Yeah, that's, I mean, come on.
That's chicken dookie, man.
That's not cool. That truly is. I mean, there's no way that should be happening because it's not a two-way street. There's no way it's a two-way street. So, okay, if anybody else has good news, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone, and we will get you in for good news. And let's see here. Let's go to 209, see if we have some good news. Area code 209. You've been unmuted.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
sure,
we can hear you.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller. I have subscribed to your website, but are you familiar with the administrative process?
All too familiar with it.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
I have a question.
I'm actually in the C level. I'm going to court. I've been to the judge already. And I have a few questions that I'm not sure about. First of all, I did not go in as a.
Well, wait. This is good. This is good news. This is not question and answer yet. So you got to sit back. But I'm going to forewarn you already. We don't even discuss the administrative process on any of our calls. So if it's related to that, think of some other question. Because we don't practice it. We don't even condone it. We don't tell people to do it.
We don't endorse it.
We tell you the opposite.
Okay. Well. And I have questions about that.
You don't want to go to jail. Stay away from it. That's what I tell everybody.
No, I'm not afraid of it. It seems pretty clear and very, 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 very good.
What it seems and what it is going to be two different things.
Yeah.
And we know and we just care about you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. So I guess there's nothing I can ask at this point from you.
Yeah, now this is
the,
good news.
Yeah, it's all good news. It's good news right now.
Yeah, all we're looking for is good news right now. And when I announce question and answer, you can go ahead and raise your hand again. If you would, I'm going to mute you in just a second. If you would hit one
but
on
before
your
I do,
keypad,
but you do discuss this issue, right? You are familiar where I can ask questions,
we do,
correct?
We do not discuss administrative processes at all.
Oh, you do not? Okay.
No, we do not. Because you have no enforcement for it. There's no reason to use it because you won't get anywhere. There's no enforcement. So, anyway.
I see. Okay, well, I appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you very much. If you'll hit 1 on the keypad on your phone, that will take you out of the queue there. Thank
all
you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, let's go to 407. See if we have some good news at 407. Come on. There we go. 407. You've been unmuted.
Well, I'm 407.
Well, there was another 407. Where did that go? Okay.
Good question.
I don't know. All right. Let's go to 602 and see if we have good news there.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay. I started receiving some phone calls from an 800 number some time ago. They were trying to collect on or trying to assist me with some tax-related issues. And the first time I got the call, I just simply hung up. And then they called right back, left a voicemail. And anyway, I never responded to any of their phone calls. And I've accumulated now about, I think last count is I could actually verify 15 phone calls. And
nice.
Those phone and so anyway, I sent a letter here about 3 weeks ago to the company and found out who, you know, some of the partners were in the with this company. And so anyway, within just a few days I received an express mail package that stated how much they apologized for the repeated phone calls and just extended their deepest apologies, and they would remove me immediately from all their lists. They don't know how they could have got my number because I did mention to them that I was on a do not call registry, the federal registry. And let's see, I think there was one other thing I might not have mentioned. But anyway, so I get this letter, and the very next day after I got this letter, after I had been told it in writing that number had been expunged, I get another phone call, and they left a voicemail. So
we're going to count that as willful.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was pretty exciting. So anyway, I just recently I sent them a notice of pending lawsuit, and I'm kind of thinking that might have been a little premature. I mean, the rest of it I think is all good news. Happy to share it. But you know, one of the things they mentioned in their letter was that they do not use an automated device, which I thought was hilarious. However, that's what he stated, and I guess kind of a question out there I really didn't intend on asking, but are they required to have an automated telephone dialing device in order to be in violation of the TCPA?
Well, that's one of the things that creates a violation, the use of it.
Yeah. Yeah, why would they be required to have anything?
Yeah, nobody's required to have it.
Well,
I guess the question is,
maybe I should rephrase the question. In order for them to have violated the TCPA, would they have had to use an automated telephone dialing system?
No, they would have had to use equipment that was capable of automatic dialing.
So
but
you have to find that out in discovery?
Okay. In your case, they called your cell phone anyway with no established relationship. I don't care what they use or what they didn't use. Doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
So it's irrelevant.
So it's irrelevant. So based on really what I've got, just sending them a notice of pending lawsuit with a sample copy of a lawsuit should really be the very next step I'd be taking, right? I mean, I'm not asking for legal advice, but you understand
right.
My
we
question.
Never give
right?
it.
Right.
I wouldn't know how to give legal advice. I have no clue.
Yeah, me either.
We don't know what it is that you should do, but if the situation were mine, I would.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have experience with what typically happens? Do some people find that you'll get complete silence from them after you send them something like that, even though you give them notice of 10 days?
There is no norm. Because you're dealing with so many variables. I mean, human nature, you've got a business that's like, oh, we're just going to blow this off, or they talk to an attorney and they do something. There's literally no way to know. There isn't anything, this is what usually happens. You just have to literally take it as it happens.
Sounds like I have a pretty strong case, though, right? I mean, I've got clear documentation. As a matter of fact,
if you're drawing questions like that, you might need to go back and do some more studying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're trying to get us to tell you have a great case, go get them, and that ain't going to happen. The only one who can decide that's you.
Mm-hmm.
So just go do a little bit more study and watch the TCPA more. You know, that's all.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's
one of the most important things you can do is know that statute inside out and backwards and what case law is out there regarding these issues. And because even long before you ever get to a lawsuit, if you're trying to negotiate with these people and negotiate a settlement, they're going to try and BS you. I mean, they just are. Let's face it. You know, they're sitting on a bunch of liability when you come after them or tell them you're going to come after them. And they're not just going to hand you over a healthy settlement. They're going to try and BS you, especially being a pro se litigant, because they're going to figure you're one of the typical pro se litigants that doesn't know much of anything. And you have to demonstrate to them that not only do you know more than a little bit, you know a lot, and you know exactly what you're talking about when you interact with them. That's what can get you settlements in these situations, with even without filing suit. And I know that from experience because I've done it.
Yeah.
But you really got to be on top of it. It's well worth the time spent to really make sure that you know your stuff. And the case law that backs it up. Study that TCPA takedown. Don't just go through it once or twice. Study it. If you haven't gone through it five or six times, you probably really don't know what all is in there.
Right.
Yeah.
And as I always say, listen, I always say this is simple. Even like a college football team or a coach who goes out there, they're going to study the other team. They're going to study the adversary. It's just the way it is. You're foolish not to know more than your adversary.
Good point.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Teams watch hours and hours of videotape on quarterbacks and running backs and tight ends and to see everything that guy do. What am I going to expect out of Dave Mack when I get on the field with him? Well, now I know more about Dave Mack than Dave Mack knows about Dave Mack. That's the way you got to approach
right.
this stuff.
Yeah. And I'll have to say over the last 6 months or, you know, I've been actually been a member now for probably close to a year, but the last 6 months I have gone through the TCPA takedown probably just a couple of times, but now that this particular one is really coming to fruition, which I did kind of set them up that way, I think you're right. I think it'd be really good for me to go run through it about three more times before I actually
yeah.
go so far as to file or enter into negotiation.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more than a good idea. It's a necessity if you really want to be successful.
If you want
really
to win,
is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah,
if you're
going to
defend your rights, if you want to defend your rights, you have to understand what the law says so that you know exactly what you're dealing with when you're talking to them.
Yeah, I think I've heard you guys say before that it's fairly common for about three violations to occur every time the phone rings from one of these guys.
Pretty much. Larry's always said that.
So,
you can't get a letter and you can't get a phone call from one of these clowns without them violating something. It's almost, you know, it's like humanly impossible.
Right. So you get, in my case, actually I think I had, let's just say it's 15 calls easily.
That's
I mean,
a lot.
I got 45 violations. You've got $500 a pop plus the others that are obviously willful. I mean, this thing goes very quickly to, you know, $20,000+ and maybe all the way up to $60,000, which
right, quickly.
Is fairly significant.
Yep. It adds up very fast. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that, I think that's the thing that kind of surprised me is when I started going back, doing all the math for the violations and everything, I started going, oh, my gosh, you know, this thing's getting pretty big. Pretty well
all right.
stuff.
Well, go get them.
All right. Thank you. All right.
All righty. Thank you. Okay.
Press one,
if
right?
there's – what's that?
Just press one, right?
Yeah. So press one, please. Take yourself out of the queue there. All right. Anybody else has good news, hit one on your keypad, if you would, on your phone. Otherwise, we're going to go and get ourselves going here with Q&A tonight. So, all right, I don't see anybody else jumping in. So let's go ahead and head into Q&A. All you got to do is hit 1 on the keypad on your phone, and that'll put you in the queue so that we can get you in for your questions. Let's go to, I believe, 773 may have had additional questions. 773, did you have questions for us tonight? You were in for good news.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Just the end of good news, right? I was waiting for the end of good news.
Okay, well, we're done with good news. We're into Q&A now.
Okay, great. Okay, I didn't want to go out of line there. Okay, Dave, right? Dave, I just want to say, man, you requested this book, O'Connor's Federal Rules and Civil Trials for 2013 is the one I just got today. And looking through this book, this thing is absolutely unbelievable. Amazing what's in this book.
That really truly is. It's gangbusters. It just really is. And I highly recommend everybody getting that. You know, John is the one that told me about it. And,
yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. It's very, very self-explanatory. Okay, this is the deal. I got my wife on the other end, so she's listening on the call. I'm the one that called in earlier about the attorney that didn't show up. I want to get you guys opinion on something here. Okay, by him not showing up, I already know what the deal is on this, what I want to do, but I want to get your insight on it too. If it was you and they didn't show up and this their motion for an enlargement of time and they didn't show up, this is in federal court, and what do you suggest that my next step should be? Now, but let me give you a scenario first. Let me give you a little history real quick. Filed the case the first time, and we just did it the regular way with serving. We did a return receipt with the green card. And, of course, under the federal rules of civil procedures, that's a different story. You got to give them the 21 days to respond, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now we did it. For January 3rd, we sent the complaint out with the summons, 21-day notice. They didn't respond. We get a call a week after that from the one of the little goons there at this guy's law firm that we're suing, that my wife is suing, and he said he was just tapped to call, like tapped on the shoulder to call to find out about, you know, were we willing to do some type of resolution. So I told him, listen, this is a $30,000 case. We're not settling for anything. We're going to go between $15,000 and $20,000 bottom line. Next thing you know, on the 22nd, I look on Pacer, and I see that they filed an appearance with a law firm downtown Chicago. So what happened was that they filed a motion for enlargement of time as well. It was set for today. My wife and I showed up in federal court today, and we were supposed to be on the 21st floor. They took all these cases pretty much and took them to the 18th floor, so that's what we did. So the judge called her up, and the other side didn't show up, and he said, I'm going to recall your case. She was the first one that they called. He said, I'll recall your case. So he called up a few more. It wasn't that many people in the room, and so they finished up some other stuff. He said, recall this case back up. I heard him tell it to his clerk. So they recalled it. They didn't still show up. And so, therefore, technically, it's supposed to have been over with. No doubt about it, it's supposed to have been over with. But I want to get you guys' viewpoint on what would you have done or what would you do in that matter regardless. Okay, February 20th is a date that we had set for a motion for default judgment from the first time I messed up. I'm going to say I messed up because of I didn't send this 21-day summons, okay? The judge kept that on the book. He said, I'm going to keep that up, and we're going to use that for the default judgment date if they don't respond or you guys don't work out something. That's what he kept it up there. So if they get to the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, to file an answer,
listen,
which I think is ridiculous because they should have
did
it today.
Here's what he did. I hear you, but no. Here's what he did. He gave him the extension. And if anybody disagrees, please jump in. He gave him the extension until the 14th of February to answer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's what he did. He just granted it in that time.
Right.
That is a discretionary ruling. Okay?
Yep.
Like a lot of people go to court, our members, and they get upset when the judge rules against them on a motion to dismiss.
You know,
mm-hmm. Okay? And me
and
hang
out for dinner.
Okay, I get mad as hell.
Well,
I'm not going to lie. But in reality... Okay, listen,
so.
You can't keep talking. Hello? You can't keep talking while I'm trying to answer your question.
No, that's not me. That's someone else. That's not me.
Oh, well,
okay.
I don't know
whoever
who is,
has a conversation in the background there, it's one of our people here.
Hey,
please.
Didn't you say if I pressed one, I'd be out of the queue?
What's your area code?
Dave has to mute you.
602?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right,
all
go
right,
ahead.
Now he's muted.
Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, no problem. They're discretionary, right? So the judge would have ruled whether you would have been there, or he would have been there, or anybody would have been there. Okay? Just remember that. Many, many times, the way our process works is when you get served, you wait till that 19th day, right, because you're buying that extra time while you're learning and studying or trying to get some evidence against the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you file on that 19th day, you file what? A motion for an enlargement of time to answer the complaint, and then you put in your notice of dispute, right? Well, the judge in most times, sua sponte, meaning on his own, will go ahead and just grant that. Okay? He don't have a hearing for it or anything. He just grants it.
Right, but how is he able to grant that when they didn't show up for their own motion for enlargement of time?
Because
they wasn't there.
Discretionary. You didn't hear what I just said. That was the very
sure.
first two words I said. Discretionary hearing. Nobody had to be there. You didn't really even had to be there. He could have granted it to him with no hearing. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, the judges do have the discretion to do things like that. It's
yeah.
not a cut in stone situation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd like
and
to think it should
fun.
Be, but it's not.
Yeah, and it's not fun. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you, that a motion to dismiss is basically the same exact way.
Right, no, I understand that, but what got me was that when they were served officially on January 3rd, they didn't file their appearance and their motion for enlargement of time until the 22nd, one day short of this default judgment that would have took place if they didn't respond.
No, that's
right.
Okay. If it's one day short,
but
if it's 1 minute short. They got it in there. What does it matter when? As long
right.
as they got it in there, who cares?
It's very
hey,
typical.
What if you did the same thing?
It's very typical for these attorneys to wait until the very last day to file something in.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So don't be surprised or upset with the judge or any of that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
take it as it's a discretionary situation, and he has the choice to do that. Whether we agree, don't agree, like, or don't like, he can do it. And there ain't a darn thing you're going to do about it or anybody else going to do about it for that matter. It's discretion.
My wife
you know
was funny. She told me, she said, honey, maybe what happened was that the attorney in California that she's suing, maybe he just had some a lawyer here in Chicago just to do a motion for this enlargement of time for him so he wouldn't go default right away.
That's
yeah.
exactly what they did.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Your wife
okay.
is, she's on the other line. Congratulations, sweetheart. You figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
You knew exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's all it did.
And I can hear her laughing in the background.
That's
she's
right.
happy.
Smart right. cookie, that wifey.
Yeah, so, you know, that's all it is. You're right. They just threw a warm body in there so you don't get the default. That's all that happened. Nothing else. Same thing you
well,
have done.
I thought you did a really good job today. I coached her on some things on what to say and so forth, and she went up there and, you know, I said, just be yourself and you know, just between you and that other side. Forget whoever else is in the courtroom, and she did exactly that. You know, she was awesome. She was awesome.
That's good.
Good.
That's good.
Good. Congratulations.
My wife wants to vomit before she walks in there, so her nerves just, you know, I mean, it's 4 days. I got to hear a bunch of nonsense. You know, what's going to happen? Who's going to be there? What's going to be said? What's it? Like, if I had a crystal ball, we'd win the lotto, and I wouldn't even worry about none of this nonsense, would you? You know, I don't know, honey. So, you know, but somehow she still tolerates me. Huh, David?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know, but she does.
Can I let someone else jump on real quick here? The other thing is that my stepdaughter, in fact, my wife was just on the phone with her, and they just finished up some stuff. She's getting calls on her cell phone from, like, was it there, like, three or four different debt collectors?
Yeah.
About
four
debt collectors. One called her like 13 times, and we don't even have the stuff. That was from June to
October.
And now we didn't even get the rest from October, November, December. I'm sorry, November, December, and now January, because she has some more. She just had a baby, so she needs the money too. So we're going to.
That's
gonna,
a lot of diapers, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I want to ask you guys a quick question on that because, you know, I'm consider myself pretty good at this stuff here, but I want to get your opinion on this real quick, and I'll let someone else get on. Do you suggest that I send them out the notice of intent to sue first, or should I just send – because I hear you guys say sometime you send out a notice of intent to sue. Some of the members send out a notice of intent to sue along with a copy of the lawsuit.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
To me,
they know you know what you're doing.
Right. Well, me personally, what I feel about that part, sending the notice of intent to sue with a copy of the suit, because I've done it before with this jerk here that we was going to court for today. But anyway, to me, I think it's just letting the other side, just give me your viewpoint on it, just letting the other side see in advance what you're doing. I want to get them exactly the 21 days so they can scramble or whatever they got to do without giving them no heads up until they see it actually served with the summons. What's your input on that?
It all works. You just use whatever you want.
Yep. I will tell you just the process that I use and the rationale behind it very briefly.
Okay.
I send a notice of intent to sue. Tell them they violated this statute. I don't get into the details or anything. I don't tell them I'll settle for X dollars. I just simply say you need to contact me so we can discuss this matter and see if we can work out a reasonable agreement. I need to hear from you within 10 days of your receipt. If I don't get a response, my next step is a notice of pending lawsuit. That's just a follow-up letter saying you unfortunately did not respond to my first communication with you. This is my final communication. Attached is a copy of the lawsuit that I will file in federal district court. Please contact me, see if we can work the situation out, and then I give them the 10 days again. The reason that I do that is that way I have got documented proof that I can put as exhibits into the court showing that I tried to mitigate the damages twice, not just once, but twice. And because you're always going to see the other side put in an affirmative defense saying the plaintiff failed to mitigate damages. Well, you squash that right there because you got two of them. And any jury or judge that will look at that will go, hey, he tried twice and they never responded, so I can see why he filed the lawsuit. So that's why I do it that way.
Okay.
And
I have two. So we all have, I think.
And if you attach a lawsuit, just a bare bones complaint covering what you know they've done, there's nothing to say that you can't change that lawsuit before you actually file it.
Right. Right.
Or
because that's what I did with this particular one here that I did. I wanted to try to see how that would work out. And basically it sounded like the guys were just basically stalling time. When they called us a week later, I talked to the guy myself with my wife on the phone. You know, so he was just nervous and everything, and he said, hey, I was just tapped to find out if we can work out some type of resolution. And I told him, well, we're not going to settle for anything. We're going to settle only between $15,000 and $20,000. It's a $30,000 case, $15,000 for the law firm and the owner of the law firm. They're both our defendants for TCPA violations.
Yeah. Well, here again, you noticed them, and now you just follow through on what you got going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, I just want to get you guys' input on that with the notice of intent to sue, with a copy of the actual complaint. So, okay, that makes sense. Because I was just triggering that. I didn't want to give them no heads up, and so they can be studying stuff. And, you know, I want them to go.
No, yeah.
No,
no, yeah.
No, I want them to know nothing anyway. You can tell them a year in advance. They're a bunch of retards for the most part. So,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that
example.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I gave NationStar. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, just to prove the point and drive it home. NationStar has, what was it, David, 70-some-odd calls to me. I don't know, 72 calls. At the 30-something call mark, Marshall sent them directly to their attorney an email saying, listen, you called my client while sitting in the office. He was sitting in my office while you called him. I explicitly heard him say, do not call me back. Please quit calling my client. At about another 30 calls later, they called Marshall sent him an actual letter in writing. Do you think anything's changed? They just kept calling. It got up to another 70-some calls. Now, to make it even and drive it final nail to the coffin, I filed the lawsuit, and I got 12 additional calls after it was filed and they were served.
Wow.
That's called
diehard,
man.
Yeah, forget about trying to give them any credit at all. I'm not saying all attorneys are ignorant.
Right.
Okay, but for the most part, they are. Remember, stupid cannot, let me emphasize the word, cannot be fixed.
Absolutely.
Ignorant can be, okay? Ignorance can be. So they're ignorant to it. That's the problem. And then they catch on, but it's too late. it's settlement time when they finally realize what the hell has just hit them. So,
well, all the ones I deal with have been ignorant. They have been ignorant, so.
Yeah, that's for the most part the way they almost all of them are. So just don't worry about it.
They're ignorant in their arrogance, and they're
arrogant. Terry, that's exactly right. They're ignorant in their arrogance. Couldn't have said it better myself. You're just a dumb pro se. Listen to you. You're a freaking idiot. You're a dumb pro se. What do you know? I'm a attorney.
Yeah, and Dave,
you
like you said with that book, man, I really appreciate you bringing that out because I just got mine in the mail today. And this is a 2013, and someone was actually selling this one, and I got it for a steal. I think you said you got yours for like $9 and something. I got a 2013 for $9.72.
Oh, man, that's a bargain. I paid, with shipping, I paid $20 for mine. But either way, for anybody to get that, it's a great deal. And I'll mention that again. It's O'Connor's Federal Rules Civil Trials. And you can look on Amazon and eBay
for
that.
I'm still waiting for mine from David. Waiting for my present from David.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this book is incredible.
You notice you
haven't
got any more
books, all the case
right,
laws
David?
That you need and everything for whatever. It's this absolutely amazing. I love this book.
Well, go study and enjoy. There's
well, I didn't put it down since I got it, so. All right, guys, I'll let someone else jump on. If I get something else, I'll call you guys back. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
All right, buddy.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Congratulations. Keep it up, girl.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
All right, Trudy.
All right. Let's go to see if I can get my eyeballs to work here. 917. 917, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I had called last week, and the credit card company had gone to the I paid Discover Card with an EFT, and then they had hired Flamowitz, which is the lawyer, and we've been going back and forth for like a year. And I had gotten a letter stating they wanted a notice to produce, and then I sent them a letter stating that a copy of the write-off from Discover Card on my credit report that the bill was paid. But Flamowitz has, after 9 months, they sent me a letter stating, they want notice to produce with all kinds of copies of credit cards and bank statements and all kinds of things, which I don't have anymore. And then I sent them a letter stating that, I did not get their last letter, and then they sent me a notice saying notice to admit to the truth of the facts. And there's like 100 questions here. And I was told on the last call last week that there was a very specific way to answer all this. But I've tried to go through the website for the I haven't
Discovery.
Been able to find the documents to file. And I got a couple more days here, and I've got to file something. And I've gone through this
website. Did you look in the webinars in the discovery section? That's where the answers are to your questions.
Well, I haven't been able to. Well, I mean, they're telling me to sign up on the form. There's nothing that on the website that even talks about the form.
What? No.
So
listen to me, please. Please listen to me. Not on the forum. I said in the webinar archives.
I tried
when you go into the web,
with,
please listen to me. When you go into the website, on the left-hand side of the page, you have your various links, the areas of the site. Go to the webinar archives. And then when you get into that page, scroll down. It's about halfway down the page. You'll see the webinars on discovery. There's a series of webinars on dealing with discovery. That's where you're going to get your information on how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
John did an
excellent
job.
David,
those webinars.
Yeah, John did an awesome job, but I don't think she's going to find what she's looking for, which is how to answer her specific questions. It's just not going to happen. Everybody's question is completely different, so it's in generality. It's how to how to answer without answering, in essence.
Right, and I was told I need to I need to answer in a very specific way. And
No. I don't know. I was on the call because we hit it up. I don't remember anybody telling you any specific way. You just got to answer truthfully, and you got to answer without giving out too much information. Meaning, if I ask you, here's a receipt for gas at 7-Eleven on the corner by your house. Do you remember putting gas in your car a year ago? If you were to say yes to me, you would lie. That's a lie.
Well, I
can't remember.
I have to, on almost all of these, I have to say I don't remember at all because it's so long ago.
Thank you. Well, then that's what I'm trying to do. You listen to what I'm saying. Just be quiet and listen. Dave, mute her out. I don't want her to interrupt because this benefits everybody. Okay? If I were to go to court today with you and you ask me, I live 2 miles from a 7-Eleven. I use this and I've used this in the past, and it really drives the point home. I go to 7-Eleven every day to get fuel. I know I go every day to get fuel. Okay, every day. 7 days a week I stop at that 7-Eleven to get a cup of coffee and put 5 gallons of gas in my truck every day without fail. And I go to court and you tell me, Jesse, do you remember March 24th of 2013, just 10 months ago, at 7:54 in the morning, that you used your card for exactly $32.33, I would have to say no. Otherwise, I would be lying. There isn't a human alive that can remember that morning at that exact time and exactly how much fuel they put in and how much coffee they drank. And impossible. Now, the next question from that counsel is going to be, well, do you generally go by the store? See, they're going to establish a base that I lived close to the store, that I generally go by that store, how often I stop at the store every day. I admitted that I stop at the store every day, but I can't admit to that particular morning because that would be a lie. You see what I mean? I can hem-haw around the thing, but I cannot say, yes, I remember that particular charge that morning at 7:37 a.m. Impossible. It's humanly impossible. I don't care if you're Einstein. It doesn't matter. You follow? So if they're asking you questions in that nature, you have to honestly say, I don't recall. That's your honest-to-goodness answer. And if they put you on the stand, that's exactly the way you're going to respond. Sir, I don't recall. But do you generally go by that 7-Eleven and get some fuel? Well, yeah, every now and then I stop by. Is it generally around 7:30 in the morning? Well, no, it could be 10 o'clock in the morning. It could be 3 in the afternoon. I don't know. Whenever I need fuel.
Yeah.
You see,
well, Jesse,
and
no.
Sometimes some questions are asked in such a way that the true answer is, I lack sufficient knowledge to admit or deny. I don't
That's
know.
That's right. You don't know. So don't get panicked because it's 100 questions, you know. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have to give her, you know, some guidance specifically on the admissions on that, which they just did. Now, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you again to see if you have a follow-up question here for Jesse or any of us on what was just said.
I understand what was said, and a lot of those questions I was able to do that. There is another section of questions that were asked, and this is where it says notice to produce, which it's they want copies of telephone, electric, gas, cable, server, provider, bank statements, mortgage thing. They want all these things that in the last 5 years, and I don't have any of that information.
Well, that's what you answer.
It's overbroad. It's burdensome, and you know have there are no such documents in your possession.
Yeah.
That's literally what Terry just said is your answer.
Okay.
It's overbroad, burdensome, and
intrusive.
It's intrusive, but you don't even have to go into a lot of things, and you have no such documents in your possession. That's your answer.
Yeah. Literally, that is your answer.
Yeah, I don't.
They can't get what you don't have. And you don't have to produce that which is not in your possession.
I don't.
No.
Okay. No. Nope. You're free and clear, girl.
Oh, my God.
You're letting it intimidate you.
Yeah,
well,
you can't.
Of course I am. I'm, you know, of course. I mean,
no,
I'm
not
no,
of course.
Try not to. Work at not going there.
You need to step back, take a big, big breath, look at those questions again, and just think about it. I don't have it, therefore I can't give it to you, right?
Yep.
You can't make me have it, and if I were to try to falsify it, then that would be perjury.
That's
so
right.
I'm not going to do that. You're asking for stuff that is unreasonable, overbroad, intrusive, ridiculous, and I,
well, you,
and I don't
I don't
have
use
it.
The word ridiculous, yeah.
No, don't use
outside
the
four corners of
but,
the complaint.
And the other thing, or is not likely to produce evidence admissible at trial.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, because they always do that. And we all
oh, yeah.
see it. That is standard. They'll want you to tell them what phone number you had for the last 5 years.
Right.
All banks you had for the last 5 years. All your education history.
Yeah.
All your past employers. They'll even sometimes go 10 years. And none of that has anything at all to do with the lawsuit. They are on a major fishing expedition. And
right.
they're hoping you're going to throw up, you know, a gigantic swordfish
mm-hmm.
for them to fillet and poke you with, you know.
Right, yeah.
And that's all. Well, that's unreasonable. And as Dave was trying to say, it is outside the four corners of the complaint. It has absolutely nothing to do with the allegations at hand, and therefore is not only overly broad, unduly burdensome, but will not lead to the discovery of evidence admissible at trial. And it's outside the four corners of the complaint.
Yeah,
okay.
You, literally what Terry okay. just said right there is the exact verbiage you can use as an answer.
Right, will not, I'm sorry, will not lead to...
Well, what
well,
you can do is
yeah.
go back to, on the recording of this
oh,
call.
Okay.
Go back to this time.
Okay.
We are about
we're almost an hour.
55 minutes.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, got it.
So you're going to find, in that way you can play it and pause and type out what I said. We're at 55 minutes into the call.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thank you, John, for teaching me all that.
John is excellent on discovery. He really is. He's a fabulous strategist, and he did an absolutely incredible job on that series of webinars. So everybody needs to go and study that stuff, and don't wait till you get in a crunch to do it. Be learning about that stuff in advance so that, you know, when you get to the time if something like that is thrown at you, you're not going, oh, my God, the sky is falling. I'm running around with my hair on fire. That makes it harder.
There's absolutely no rule that says you cannot answer with, I do not recall.
Yes, okay.
I
have a question. When I look at this website that says what lies in your debt, there isn't anything on the left side that talks about discovery. What
no,
because
you're not. You know what it is, David? She's not a member. She hasn't signed up.
Yes,
she's
I am a member. I paid $99.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, then, you
then you're not logging
you're
in.
Yeah, you're not logging in. You got to log in.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. If
got
you
it.
Log in, you,
yeah.
you log into the site and you look over along the far left side, you're going to see a series of links. And that's where you're going to look. And for
all
the
right,
stuff you're looking
marketing.
For.
But I signed up. I am a member.
Oh,
okay,
no,
well,
good.
That doesn't
you,
do
yeah,
you any
yeah.
good if you don't log in.
Yeah. yeah. Right. You got. You get yourself logged in. The key thing, again, webinar archives.
Yes.
And then
okay.
once you get into that, you scroll down. You'll get about halfway down that page, and you'll see where the series of webinars on discovery is.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay, Let's go on to 609. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
All right. This is John from Jersey. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Hi,
good.
John. How are you?
Yeah, Dave, you're no longer Dallas Dave. You're Vexen Dave. But, Jesse, that was
Dave.
My... that was my pre-audit question on the forum. It was 2 weeks ago today that I submitted the my mortgage and note, and still haven't found out what was going on with it.
That's weird. You know, I've heard that many times. And every single time I've heard that, there's been an error, somewhere error on the sender's end. Every single time Gary's found it.
Okay,
you need
so...
To, you,
well,
have
well,
you submitted
I,
it?
What I did was I took it to Staples because when I was a member about 3 or 4 months, I don't, you know, I'm not very good on this computer stuff. So what I did was I took the mortgage and the note to Staples. And they emailed it to me, and then I forwarded the that email to the pre-audit email. So, and then later on that afternoon, I followed up with another email to the pre-audit to see if they received that, and I didn't get a response from either or.
I would try it one more time. Do it like tonight, and then let me know. And if for whatever reason you don't feel or it feels that you got in there somehow, go ahead and let Gary know and me know. Just go back to us and contact us button. That's the easiest way.
Yeah, the webmaster is who he's talking about.
Okay. All right. Now I have another question as far as I've been reading the note. Like you said, because I've been doing the doing the archive webinars on saving your house, and what I had done, which I was looking at the mortgage and the note, and the other day I realized that my wife's signature is spelled wrong. And it's spelled wrong underneath her name. And so I brought it to her attention because I was there when I was there at the closing table. It was at our kitchen table. And I tell you, I do not remember anybody telling her or myself, because my name is spelled correct, to spell her name different. And I said to my wife, I said, is this your signature? She said, well, it looks like my signature, but I don't know if it's my signature. But also, when I questioned Ohio Bank, and I didn't realize this until recently, and their response back to me was a notice, and I got it right here. It says, hold on for a second, I just had it right here. What it was, it's a notice. Oh, it says, notice of assignment, sale, or transferring of servicing rights. It's got my wife's signature on it, and it's dated for the date that we closed. And I've never, now that I don't do this stuff, but how can they say that she signed a transfer of servicing rights at the closing table? Because I would imagine that's what because it's the same date that we settled on. Is that right?
It makes no sense.
Okay, because it says, this is what it says. It says, you are hereby notified that the servicing of your mortgage loan, that is, the right to collect payments from you is being assigned, sold, or transferred from Flagship Mortgage Corporation to Ohio Savings Bank effective December 1st, 2006. And I'm saying, how could that possibly be? Because we didn't sign none of this stuff. My signature's not on there. So my question is, I'm trying to gather all this stuff up, and you know, I'm half confused as it is, and you know, and I'm doing all this studying like you guys are telling me to do, and I'm just getting bombarded with more stuff that I got to do. You know, like I know that this something's not right, and I know that something's not right, and I knew something wasn't right from the start. As soon as I started, you know, as soon as I joined, I knew that there was something not right. But I'm trying to. What I'm going to do is keep a log. I'm going to go back and start all over again tomorrow. And keep. I'm going to write down a log of everything I find. But I don't.
Well, what's your question? That's the main.
Yeah,
question.
You haven't asked a single question.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there when I bring a suit on? Is that going to be part of the suit that notice of assignment? I mean, to me that doesn't even sound right to be having that signed on the same date as we're settling for the house. I mean,
I don't know. Listen, you're asking something that it would literally be impossible for me to tell you if that's right or not right. So, you know, there's no way. It's literally impossible.
Okay, so is it normal, though?
No, it's normal to transfer servicing rights the day of a closing. Absolutely normal. But without looking at what you're reading, I have no idea. It's impossible.
So I'm probably making a mountain out of a molehill, even though I don't have anything with my signature.
Let me make one quick comment on that. You said it's got your wife's signature on it, but not yours, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Did both of you sign all the closing documents at closing?
Yes. My name is on the mortgage.
Well,
and
Jesse, sounds like something fabricated, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But, again, there's no way to tell. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not until I don't know the whole thing. It's impossible.
Yeah, we
I would have no
right.
idea.
We don't have all the information, right?
Okay, right. You don't have. I understand.
If you were both
you're not
involved
saying
in
what
that.
I see.
Yeah, exactly. And, if you were both involved in it, then those type of things. If you signed it, would have both of your signatures on. From the way I would view it.
Right. If my name
why
is
would
on
only have
now,
hers.
Right. If my name is on the mortgage paper, it should be on all the papers. I would assume, and I can't. I'm being honest. I don't remember that. This was back in 2006. I was running a business, and you know, my mind wasn't on mortgage papers. I didn't know
yeah,
I was going
Jesse,
to be in this mess.
Yeah. Jesse, from your experience and what you've seen, which is a ton of paperwork. In those kind of situations, when he is on the mortgage, even if they did that transfer right at the closing table, it would definitely have his name on those documents, would it not, if he's on the mortgage? It'd have to, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, not necessarily. If she is the main mortgage or the main signer on the note, remember, most states require that the husband and wife sign the mortgage for title purposes. But
right.
If she's the one responsible on the note, everything really should come to her.
Okay.
Okay.
Does
that make sense?
Were you on the note as well, or was it just her?
The copy of the note that the title company sent us after we closed.
No, I don't care what the title company sent you. Did you both sign the note at the closing?
Well, that's what I'm trying to answer, Dave. I do not know if we both signed the note. The note that we have is blank. I can tell you that.
What do you mean it's blank?
It's blank. The only signatures that we have of any of the paperwork that we got. Is the copy that I got from the clerk's office of the mortgage. And that has a that also has a on page 15, I believe it is, or 14, that has a notary that was not present when we signed all the paperwork, but he's got his his signature there, and on the mortgage itself, the mortgage papers themselves, the when we signed it, both myself and my wife, there's no dates. There's no date on the mortgage papers. You know, usually when I sign my name to a contract, I put a date on it. So I wouldn't even understand why I didn't even put a date on it.
And there's a whole lot of unanswered questions here, aren't there, Jesse?
Yeah, a ton. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way we can really answer your questions on this because we don't see what you see.
Okay. And the thing is where I got overwhelmed before and where I'm getting overwhelmed now is that I want to keep it simple. I want to go after the conditions, precedents, and all that. But like when I was listening to the webinar, you were talking to somebody, Jesse, about you want to wrap all your complaints into one complaint instead of suing them for TCPA over here and then. But
no, that all depends. You're confusing things. I don't mix and commingle. If I'm suing them for FDCPA, it's all FDCPA, whatever the state act is, and RESPA, TILA. TCPA, I generally keep outside those parameters.
Okay, so when you're going after them for, like, conditions, precedents, you're not wrapping up TCPA in that as well?
No, no.
Oh, okay, all right, good. Then I can just keep a log, and then once I get, like, my seat, because I want to hit them with TCPA. I think she's got, like, $40,000 worth of phone calls on her cell phone that I can hit them with soon, once I get...
Just do that right now. But you can't go after anybody for conditions precedent. Okay,
well,
remember, you don't have a cause of action. That's a defense.
Right, right. That's
until
what I mean.
Yeah, until they actually do something to you that would violate any one of those statutes, I wouldn't even fool with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but aren't... I mean, I've heard you say this more than once, though. The guy that strikes first is usually the guy that wins, right?
That's right.
Well, which leads me to another thing, because I don't know where I am in the foreclosure process. That I know is that they haven't done anything other than send me letters stating that that I could sell my house and walk away with $3,000.
Right.
I sent in QWRs, and that's another question. I sent the QWR to the wrong address. Should I write another one and send it to the
wrong address? Yeah, no, there's no such thing as the wrong address.
Okay.
There's already case history on that. They got it. They need to take care of that internally. They can't tell you, oh, you didn't send it here, so we never got it. Baloney.
Okay, so then I should file suit on that they didn't answer.
Again, I'm not going to advise you whether to file suit or not. That's your decision. You go read the law, and then you make the choice.
Okay. Well, I'm not asking, I'm just, I never, when I talk to you, I'm never asking you for legal advice. So that's right on the record.
Okay.
The only thing I'm asking you is if you were in my shoes.
None of us have a clue how to give legal advice.
Yeah. So when you tell me, what should I do, that's exactly what you're asking me to do, is give you legal advice and direction.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll rephrase that another way.
Yeah.
If you were in my shoes, you would...
I would sue him.
Okay. All right.
See, now okay. I can finish the sentence for you. No problem.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
All right.
Well,
did that take care of you?
It certainly did, and I know I'm going to bug you to death with other questions, and I'm sorry, but like I said, I appreciate you guys being out there to help everybody like me, because like I said, I told you before, like my head's like a concrete block, but once I get it, I get it. But
I'm the same way.
You're going to have to use that 5-pound mallet to beat it in there.
That's right. Yep. I always tell everybody I'm as creative as a brick, you know, and that's about the extent of it. So, yeah.
All right.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And press 1 on the keypad on your phone if you would to take yourself out of the queue. That'd be great.
All right.
Okay, let's go to, well, I don't know who this is. We got a whole bunch of ones, just a bunch of ones for a phone number. You've been unmuted.
Greetings, everyone. Hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, hi. A couple questions. Filing a federal lawsuit for a couple things. I wanted to know, do I need to put an affidavit along with it on top of it saying this is true?
That's up to you. Are you filing a verified complaint or just a regular complaint?
A regular complaint.
Then you don't have to do anything. If you file verified complaints and you're filing all the affidavits, you're filing the attachments too, it'd be like filing almost a summary judgment. You have to file something to support it, right? So it's the same way with verified. Personally, I like filing verified complaints when I go to federal court over FTCPA stuff, especially if I have them dead to rights because there's no way around it, and they see it right up front. So does that judge.
Okay.
See, but that's up to you.
So if I do a verified complaint, then I should definitely put the affidavit with it.
Exactly.
Okay. Next question, how do I do a search for trust to find out about a mortgage that's supposedly in trust?
You don't. You send that off to what lies in your mortgage. You go there and you follow directions, ship it off to them, and then they'll tell you whether it is or not. And then from that point, you can go and decide what you want to do with your audit. If you want a full audit, you do it. If you don't, you don't. But does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just trying to get it.
Yeah, you're trying to get that, so what you would have to do is send your mortgage in to them. They don't charge anything, and you can do it online. It takes, you know, a little bit of time. You got to scan your stuff in and then send it across. But once they get it, usually a few days, you're going to know, you know. So.
Okay. All right, and then my final question. Thank you. My final question. I did a loan modification and was not able to keep it up, so I got a mitigation affidavit in the mail. Now I'm putting the lawsuit in this week. They've already said it on the last affidavit that they weren't going to do anything because the loan was approved, but the borrower failed to comply with the terms and failed to sustain the repayment. But yet they did put other information for mediation. In your experience, if you're putting in a lawsuit, should you also, because I have 25 days to ask for mediation.
What's your question?
So the question is, in your experience, have you seen somebody do both, put in a lawsuit as well as...
Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other.
Okay.
Yeah, remember, you always hear me say that. If I break your legs trying to collect the $10 you owe me, when I get out of jail, do you still owe me $10? See what I mean? You still owe me $10. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So one and the other. Yeah, it's in the means of collection. It has nothing to do with the underlying debt. That's the confusion everybody has.
Okay. If it were you, would you also apply for the mediation, even though I know there's some violations within the suit?
Apply? I don't know. I hate mediation. Larry, you're the mediator.
Well, what do you think? Thinking, is it going to help you or not, the mediation?
I'm thinking they probably won't do it. But
yeah, I mean, the reality is mediation is a voluntary process. So unless they're willing to settle and you're willing to settle and you meet somewhere in the middle, it's pointless. You know, and that's coming from a mediator. So typically it's not going to matter much whether or not you do mediation. You just need to figure out where their mindset is and, you know, what you're trying to accomplish.
Right. I wanted to sue them and collect, but I didn't know if...
if you're suing them, they're probably not going to be very amenable to settlement. Right. But, you know, you just have to kind of feel out the situation and see what makes sense. In other words, there's no way we can tell you whether or not it's to your advantage to do mediation. But more than likely, it's not going to make much difference either way.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, sweetie.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, and if you will hit 1 on the keypad on your phone to take you out of the queue, that'd be great. Let's go to 617. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Hello, 617.
Yeah, it's me. Hey, hello, everybody. This is Paul from Massachusetts.
Hey, Paul.
My question. Hey,
what's
Jesse,
going on?
How you doing? All right. Listen, Jesse, can you do me a favor? Can you please explain the meaning for me and for all the other people that can take advantage of it? How you, the verbiage that you use in your TCPA complaints for stacking calls and
for stacking calls? Why do I have to use, oh, you mean do when you did, like, count one through whatever?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. What is the verbiage? When you say count one, what do you actually mean as far as, you know, like someone might think count one is FTCPA or, you know, or is it count one? Such and such call me at August 31st, 9 a.m. Can you explain that?
Yeah, hold on. Let me grab my complaint.
Okay.
All right.
Because I've been studying that TCPA. It's about my fourth time through it. And very interesting how you guys, you and Dave and everybody else, explaining
I,
the
see,
proper
I start,
way.
You know, you go through factual allegations is where I start really with all the other stuff. This is a fourth lawsuit against the defendant because it is against NationStar, and I just grabbed NationStar. For the same type of violations of the statute listed in paragraph one above, the defendant has passed an ongoing campaign of willfully and knowingly violating the federal and state laws and seems intent on violating the plaintiff's rights repeatedly. Going back to November 2010, NationStar is repeatedly harassed and called the plaintiff's cell phone, all the while knowing the plaintiff was represented by counsel and has spoken to plaintiff's counsel on several occasions as recent as March 2013. It goes on, da-da-da-da-da. Then I go on November, you know, 2012, case number, in January 13, plaintiff was granted judgment against the defendant for violations of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Florida Consumer Practice Act for going around counsel. On July 18th at 2:39 p.m., the defendant called from 877, you know, their number, to plaintiff's cell without consent or permission and going around counsel, leaving no message. On July 19th, 13 at 12:37, again, the plaintiff's called from cell phone number, da-da-da, and I go, every single call is documented with the time. Remember I tell everybody, you got to take a picture of your phone. It gives them the time stamp, the date stamp, and the number stamp. So you have all the evidence you need. And I put on there whether they left a message or not. And this is like repeating, you know, it's almost like I'm a broken record all the way through. And then when I get down here to count one, it would be the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you know, plaintiff alleges paragraphs 1 through 86. You got to make sure you remind them that you're a consumer within the meaning of the act. You got to tell, remind them that the debt in question is for personal, family, or household purposes. I've seen cases dismissed for that lack of one sentence right there. You got to define them as a debt collector within the meaning of the act. So remember, you're the consumer. You got to define the debt, and you got to define them all within the act. Okay? And how do we do that? Of course, the defendant is a debt collector within the meaning of the FDCPA, 15 U.S.C. at 1692A6, as a debt collection is part of its ordinary business practice, and the defendant regularly collects debts on behalf of others. So I've got it all defined right there on both sides of the FDCPA.
Beautiful.
And then when it gets to because I got four counts in here, right? The Florida Consumer Protect, I got all those, the FTCPA, FCCPA, and then I want to get to the TCPA language, which is, damn man, this goes for a long ways here. Count 9, hold on. Counts 10 through 67. Defendant's violations of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, 47 U.S.C. at 227B1A, TCPA, the Florida Consumer Collection Practices Act and at Florida and the Florida Statute 559 Part 6 by the defendant. The call to the plaintiff's cell phone on July 19th through September 10th constitutes distinct violations of Florida statute and 47 U.S.C. defendants, and of course, I'm not going to go through all the details. Defendants aforementioned conduct violated the TCPA 47 U.S.C. and the Florida statute and constitutes 57 separate and distinct counts. And then I redefine everything, right? The debt in question was for personal. The defendant's a debt collector. I'm a consumer because I've put those together here, right?
Yeah.
And then defendant has demonstrated willful or knowingly noncompliance with 47 U.S.C. by using automatic telephone dialing system, which has the capacity to dial numbers without human intervention to call the plaintiff's cell phone no less than 57 times. So I've covered both. I've said you've used an automatic telephone system that also has the capacity to dial phone numbers without human intervention. How do I know this? Because I've already been roundy round with these guys. This is the first time, fourth time. Plaintiff has no established relationship with the defendant. The plaintiff has never given the defendant either express or implied consent. Larry, I guess forgot. I have to send you this, didn't I? Plaintiff is entitled to treble damages for knowing or noncompliance and willful violations pursuant to 47 U.S.C. 227b3. And the plaintiff prays for relief and judgment as follows. You know, and I go all the way through, and then, of course, through D, awarding the plaintiff statutory damages pursuant to 47 U.S.C. in the amount of $1,500 on each count, 10 through 67, awarding the plaintiff statutory damages pursuant to Florida Statute 559.72 in the amount of $1,000 on each count, 10 through 67, and then, you know, actual damages, punitive damages, and injunction, and any further relief, of course, deems proper. So I've got it for TCPA, FDCPA, SCCPA. But this one, what I did was they sent me 9 or 10 demands for payments in the mail. They called 57 times. So there's a lot here. You know, I forgot. I got to send Larry this. Sorry, Larry. I got to get you over this.
That was beautifully said. Question answered. Question answered. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's just a combination of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's very important that you do it the right way.
Oh, yeah.
You just
got to
cover all the bases.
Learned. Yeah, just ask me how I know you don't want to do it the wrong way.
Right.
I can answer your question very, very simple.
Thank you very, very much. All right.
All righty. Thank you, Paul. Okay. And, Paul, please hit 1 on the keypad of your phone. Hopefully that will drop you out of the queue. Let's go to area code 206. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. 206. Hello, 206. We hear some noise, but we're not hearing a voice.
Oh, we hear a party going on back there, man.
Yeah. Well, they're evidently not wanting to talk to us, so let's go to 541. Come on. There we go. 541. Hello.
Hello. This is Kim. In Oregon.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hi. Hi, you guys. I have a really bad headache right now, so if I'm not speaking very clearly or anything, I just wanted to let you know.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear about your headache. Hopefully you'll feel better.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Me too.
Yeah. I'd rather get beat with a baseball bat than deal with a headache, I promise you.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Not good.
Yeah, and I get these all the time, so I'm doing all this law work has been really hard.
Wow.
But in spite of that, I thought I was doing a pretty good job. you know, I had that hearing last Tuesday for my motion for summary judgment, and I argued, you know, that I disputed the chain of assignment, and I argued about, you know, the fact that I needed more discovery. I managed to get my mom, as you had suggested, Dave, to, you know, sign a declaration saying she didn't get the notice of default. You know, I did all those things. I disputed the affidavit, and they went ahead and granted the motion for summary judgment.
What?
So, yeah. And I heard that I had one of the worst judges, one of the most corrupt judges.
Well,
yeah,
all you can do is appeal.
He signed the order 2 hours after the hearing.
Yeah, you can appeal that, of course. So.
That's what I'm going to do. But what's interesting, I just discovered as I was doing some research online that the guy that argued in the Oregon Court of Appeals, the Nade cases, and, you know, argued about MERS not being a beneficiary, he's got another hearing coming up, an appeal hearing coming up on the issue of, let's see, it says, for the second time in 18 months, Mr. Barnes is bringing another set of issues of statewide importance in foreclosure litigation to the Oregon Court of Appeals, as there is no Oregon appellate law on the issues. On February 5th, 2014, the Court of Appeals will hear arguments as to the discovery and admissibility of securitization documents and issues in judicial foreclosure cases, including the relevance of the PSA and loan transfer requirements related to transfers of mortgage loans to securitization trusts. The argument includes the recent body of law permitting a tax on alleged transfers of mortgage loans to securitization trusts.
Right.
As set forth, you know, and explained in Glaske and some other cases. So that, you know,
That's going right to the heart of the issues, isn't it?
Right, you know, and those were exactly the issues that I was, you know, saying were in dispute with. And they just shut me down. So I think that I was speaking the truth a little too clearly. And
that happens a lot.
Yeah. So.
It really does. Speak too much the truth and they beat you down with it. They don't, you know.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. So.
Yeah. And so.
Well, what is your question?
I know, right? Well, if you were me, do you have any, you know, what, I mean, I guess I got to learn how to do the appeal and all that. I don't know if you guys have experience with that.
Yeah, but every state's different, so you have 30 days to put your notice of appeal in most states. Some states it's 10 days after the final order. So just, you got to look at your rules, and all you got to do is put a simple notice of appeal, and you're going to pay the clerk. And you're going to pay the appellate court. You're going to transmit all the records, you know, all the documents up to the appellate court. And then I think generally you have between 60 and 90 days to write your first brief. And I mean, listen, you have time. You know what I mean?
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, but look up your rules. Make sure you know what the rules say so you don't assume something.
Yeah, I started doing that. I thought but then I saw something about, you know, the judge – granted the order, but then there's allegedly a judgment that's going to be probably filed after that, and I have 30 days from the judgment or something like that. So, yeah, my ex is helping me, so I'll get that figured out. I know. So, yeah, it was really I mean, it didn't surprise me because I heard, you know, that guy
I've warned
you. Judges,
that's right.
You
well,
know,
I've warned you, too. Don't expecting the world because it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it really didn't surprise me. But
yeah, I'm glad.
I don't know. You
just got to go through the steps.
Fighting.
So your appeal is your next one.
Okay.
That's right.
The hardest part for me is all the money that it almost costs.
The hardest part
like
for everybody.
Yeah.
Pardon?
That's the hardest part for everybody.
I know, right? Yeah. So it's just so frustrating, you know, that you can't get justice because you're poor.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's justice for dollars. That's the way it works in this country. And if anybody doesn't believe that, you're a complete blithering idiot, you know.
I know.
But, yeah. So you've been through what we're going through and what we're doing, you're never going to realize it. But, you know, when you do realize it, you go, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like that's why I denied it, because that way we'll get some more money out of the deal, you know. So.
Right.
And, or why
you
allowed it, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you guys. I did have some good news. One of the houses that we've been dealing with for almost 6 years, the case was completely dismissed. And, yeah, well, listen, this is going to tell you both the extremes. Yeah, this was last week, David. I'm telling you, I've been so damn busy, David, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're holding out on me. That's all right. I don't get mad. I get even.
So So they go into the judge, and back in Florida, back, you know, when they first started all this foreclosure nonsense a few years back, they used to do a lot of the lost note counts. You know, count one is count for foreclosure, count two is for reestablishment of a lost note. Well, it doesn't work quite that way. That's not how you have to establish a note in Florida. There's other protocol involved, and yada, yada, yada. So anyway, what they try to do is they never amend the complaints, or you answer, and of course all your interrogatories and all your admissions and production is based on the first original complaint. And all of a sudden they come in and say, well, we found the note, we amended the complaint. Well, now, technically, you shouldn't be allowed to do that because all your discovery and everything has been based on that original complaint, right? And you're proceeding as if you had no note. So generally what happens is when they come in, you petition the court like I did for my – I have a trial on the 4th, I think it is, over in Tampa. And I have two trials in February, so I'll know, and they're both long over 6 years. Well, the one judge in Tampa didn't want to hear it about the amended complaint, and so he allowed the note in. What you try to do is you say, wait a minute, we've proceeded on the original complaint. It would be unfair to the defendant if the plaintiff were allowed to bring in new evidence that wasn't pled with the original complaint, which is absolutely correct. So this judge, right, last week said, you're right, you're not bringing the note into evidence. So they took a voluntary dismissal, because if you don't have the note, right, if the judge says it's basically, even though you're holding the note over there, I don't see it. The court doesn't recognize it. Took a voluntary dismissal. On the other hand, my friend Louie goes to his hearing with Tanner, and the judge looks at Tanner and says, why are you disrupting the flow of my courtroom defending a homeowner?
Oh, boy.
That's exactly what he said. Again, we have a court reporter there.
Unbelievable.
That's exactly what the judge said. He said, listen, these trials are set for 3 to 7 minutes. I don't have time for attorneys to be in here disrupting the flow. Old raggedy old senior judge. So, you know, on that end, he didn't want to hear anything Tanner had to say. He ruled against Tanner and Louie, even though it was the same exact situation as a few days prior with the other judge and the count one and count two. So there you go. I mean, I don't know if that makes you feel any better or worse, but that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? You got one guy calls me, he's, you know, Clay calls me, he's through the roof, just as happy as could be, and he's won, and, you know, he's over the five-year barrier, and here's the other guy who says, what the hell just happened to me? I mean, he looked at my attorney like the attorney was a flea on his ass, like, you know, what are you doing here? Treated him like a dirtbag, you know? That's just not cool. But that's the extremes of our judicial system.
Yeah.
Arbitrary, so ain't it?
Yeah. So today, Tanner sent me an email this morning early because I have some financials on that judge. And the other thing you need to do, which I encourage everybody to do, is whenever you're dealing with a judge on a case, make sure you check that judge's financials. Always take the time to look at the judge's financials. And again, those of you that are new to the call, in my personal case, has been going for my personal home. I have rental properties and I have my personal home. They've all been going 6 years. I went nuts 6 years ago, so I ain't paying nobody nothing again. I was done. So everything's running parallel time-wise. And on my particular house, my personal house, I had Judge Stoker, and Judge Stoker had 10,000 shares of Bank of America. And guess who was the plaintiff in my case? Bank of America. And guess who he ruled for every single hearing? Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what I did now, just like 3 days ago, 4 days ago. What's today? Tuesday?
Recused.
So it was Friday, Thursday or Friday?
No, recused conflict of interest.
No, not yet. I put in all his documentation showing his financials and Bank of America. But then we clouded it with a bunch of other documents so nobody would catch on to it. Because at trial, you bring that up and you say, well, wait a minute, you know, we've had three or four hearings where this judge, who obviously has a conflict of interest, was ruling against the defendant here. So you make it on the record, and there's the documents to prove it. They're in the file. And then at that point, that judge really has nowhere to go unless he wants to just be appealed, which, you know, they don't care anymore. So at the end of the day, he's going to either rule against me or dismiss the case altogether and say, hey, no, listen, this should have been dismissed 5 years ago. What the hell happened? You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of ways that you can get them, but you have to be patient. You got to be cunning. And as we always say, you got to be more cunning than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Strategy.
So, that's right. Follow with your appeal. You know, I could have had that
that guy recused 5.5, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I do it? Because most of the hearings that he had would have been those discretionary hearings, motions to dismiss, a motion to dismiss again, a motion for protective order, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, on the record so long ago, it doesn't matter. He should have never been there to begin with. You see what I mean?
Yeah. And how do you find out about their financials? Is that on the website?
I go to the matter of fact, I'm going to give you the exact name of the office here in Florida, and that way you guys can use it and go to that same, just use the same language and type it in. Oh, come on now. Where the heck are you? Let me see where it's at. No, not that one. Today. Hold on. I want to give you this exact language because that's how I use it all the time. All right, Mr. Jesse. What the heck did I do with it?
He hasn't used it in 3 days, so he doesn't know where it is.
I haven't used it in 3 hours. I was on it this morning because Tanner wants me to start looking up for him some of the Florida Commission on Ethics.
Who?
Okay.
So you would type in, you know, Texas Commission on Ethics or Oregon's Commission on Ethics. And then that's what you're going to do. And then it says right on there, disclosures. You know, on our menu it says publications, ethics laws, rules, financial disclosures, forms, judges' forms, financial disclosure, opinions. So you even have cases on there that will back up what you need done.
Okay.
Yeah, but use every angle. I mean, when we say use every angle, Jesse means use every single angle you can think of, and I can think of just about 1,000 of them. So, like, the judge that just did that to you, I would look him up and say, okay, what could he possibly have an interest in, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And start looking. And then if that's the case, then you can DQ him immediately, and they'd have to reverse everything on you immediately. And most attorneys will not use that option. Because those are other judges. They don't want to, you know, wait a minute, I can't do that to him. You know, he's going to see me at the golf course on Saturday. I can't do that. So just remember that. Well, you know, it's something to remember.
Okay, well, we got to keep moving, guys. We're running down on time. We got about 5 more people in the queue here. Does that take care of you?
Can I ask one more? Well, can I just
real
have
quick,
one more real
if you
quick
can.
Question? I always get these postcards, you know, all along. I've been getting these postcards from Safeguard Properties that ask me if I'm, you know, if the house is occupied. So I'm still getting those postcards. Respond. Pardon?
Yeah, Safeguard is a company that does field service work.
Yeah.
Does winterization,
you know, them too,
stuff
by the way.
Like that.
Yeah, but they're owned by Bank of America.
Right. So should
mistaken.
I write them a letter? How should I deal with
it? You should ignore them unless those postcards say something derogatory. Just ignore them. Who cares?
Yeah.
But they're asking me, you know, if the property's occupied, so I just don't, you know, if I don't respond,
ignore
what does that mean? Okay.
Ignore them.
Okay. Because I have written
them. Yeah, another bizwax, is it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. I did write them a letter once, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, what are you asking me? You know, leave me alone. So,
Okay.
That was long before the lawsuit. So, okay,
right.
Well, thank
we
you.
Keep
I really
moving.
Appreciate Okay, thanks, you guys.
You have a good night. Hope you feel better.
Thank you.
You
too. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, let's go to 703. Well, wait a minute. The board jumped there. We're going to go to 703. 703,
hi.
You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks. Gosh, there's so many of us that need your help. It would be wonderful if you guys, like, limit calls to 5 minutes or something. But anyway, I am so appreciative of the stuff you do. I am kind of a long-time listener and a recent activist about this. Just 'cause
okay.
I'm always so careful about what I do. So I My tiny story is that I had a business license in my city and decided not to renew it, and then it went to collections, and you know the debtors, you know, debt collectors started calling me, blah blah blah, and so I then got introduced to you guys' program and started, you know, doing all the stuff like answering the phone, but not. And, you know, taking pictures of missed calls and blah, blah, blah. So then I filed my a lawsuit in small claims, you know, just to get my feet wet. And it's Collections Bureau of America. And just for, like, two calls, just, to, you know, just for the TCPA stuff. And so, unfortunately, in California, I was thinking it was like 30 days, but that it ended up being 60 days before I got a court date, and then they extended it another 60 days. And I just spoke to the attorney the other day, you know, just to, like, maybe let's settle this. And she's like, you know, because I was, my feeling was is that I had no... There's no way that I ever gave them my cell phone number, which they were calling, and I had no contract. You know, as we know, I owe them nothing, blah, blah, blah. But they seem to be really arrogant about this. And I was, like, just going for $5,000, going, well, you know, there's $5,000 a bunch of calls.
For two calls?
Well, my thinking was that it's the 227B that I've got $1,000 for a call within 12 months, you know, more than, you know, 12 months, that also the 3B, which is it's $500 for an unintentional call and $15 for an intentional call, and
right.
if they so correct me if I'm wrong, if they called my cell phone, they had to seek that out. They had to, and this is only only two in like 20 calls. I'm just you know, like, feeling it all out, just trying to get my feet wet.
Well, now wait a minute. Let's simplify this here, because you're
okay.
Kind of jumping around. How many phone calls do you have altogether?
Well, documented about 20.
How many phone calls do you have altogether?
Probably 35.
Okay. And you sued for two?
In small claims court, two. Yes.
Yeah, but
that's correct.
Okay. I'm just trying to get the facts. Okay.
Yes.
When you sue for two calls and you want to negotiate with them, have you told them that, well, you know, you actually have 35 calls or whatever? And
no.
You know, if we can reach some kind of a settlement, let's see if we can settle for everything, or
no.
Do you want me to file another suit?
Here was my thinking, and, you know, correct my thinking, that if I threw all that on the table, then maybe they would be less likely to, negotiate for high. But if I say, because I've listened to the previous, that if I just kind of, I think Jesse is like threatened to, well, I'm just going to, you know, file a lawsuit, because if I go to California,
violation of the... I think you're trying to make this way
too complicated.
Convoluted, and yeah. Jesse, you want to address that in a nutshell? Jesse?
So, Jesse, well, let me just tell Jesse this.
I'm here, but listen.
Hey.
Yeah.
So what my understanding is, if you have a state statute that has a violation of the federal statute, that you can actually get, you know, that there's damages for that. So that goes
well,
on top of. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I know there is. Yeah, I'm with you 125%. And that's what you're not. But what I'm doing is this. Here's what makes me nervous. You can't finish a sentence or a thought. So that really bugs me. You got to be able to. You said, "Oh, I wish I had everybody 5 minutes," but you've been going on for 10 minutes and haven't said a thing. So listen to yourself.
Okay,
and I'm not beating you up, but listen to yourself because if you get in court and you start doing that, the judge is going to laugh you out of the courtroom.
Jesse, you were breaking up there real bad. We couldn't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yep, you're good now.
Okay, I said if you speak like that in court where you don't finish a thought or a sentence, you ain't going to get 2 minutes in that courtroom before that judge throws you out. Okay? I'm just telling you for your own good. I'm not beating you up.
Yeah.
All right? So what you've done, Dave, is generally what I like to do, which is just start small and say, okay, listen, I got 35 violations, but there's no reason for you to hide anything. Say, either settle on these two or I'm just going to go ahead and file more.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Because you can always amend the complaint and take it out of small claims if you need to. But don't hide nothing. You're not gaining anything by hiding. The whole point of starting that small is to start with those two in the hopes of negotiating the rest.
The thing is, if you settle on those two, the agreement that they're going to prepare is going to say this covers all claims, you know,
that's
both current and...
That's
what they're trying to do, Larry. You went right where I was going.
Yeah, but you don't have to sign it. I never sign those. I just say, no, it just covers this one, and that's it. And you guys know just as well.
But what I'm saying is you're right, Jesse. There's no point in hiding the other claims because they're going to have to be addressed sooner rather than later anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. Well, what I thought I heard from one of your webinars or whatever was that when you bring it to small claims with just a couple and then in the negotiation period that you say, well, I have all these others, so do you want to just settle this now?
Yeah,
or
that's what I just said.
You want to go forward?
Larry, too.
Yeah.
That's what we're telling you. That's exactly what we're telling you. What's your point in hiding anything? Just bring it up forward and be done with it.
Yeah. Well, I also
you should be letting them know right now. So go ahead.
I was always under the impression, too, that you don't want to let them know how knowledgeable or what other you have because I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm trying.
And you're trying to
set
them up. Not trying to
set
them up anymore.
Ready for me.
Yeah, you're too complicated. Way too complicated.
Okay, so simplify. All right, thank you. Well, thank you. I'm so glad.
Yeah. You're one of those overthinkers.
Okay.
Yeah, you're one of those overthinkers.
That
you know what? When I had my 30,000 employees, I never would hire you as a boss. You need all the facts to make a decision, and that's not a good boss. you should be able to make good decisions with half the facts.
What
you want to do now is you got them started with two. You need to be talking to them about all of them and say, look, you know, there's X number of calls here. Now, here's, you know, let's get into some serious discussion here. Otherwise, maybe I'm going to have to change this and possibly just go ahead and take this to federal court and put all of them in there and then we'll deal with it that way.
Yeah, see, they're not going
to give
that.
Them a chance to settle with you.
That's right.
Are they
and
calling
that's
your
leverage?
Great. Okay, great. All right. Well, I hope to be calling you guys with a success story very soon.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
And don't be shy. Get it out. Shorten up your conversation with these people when you talk to them. Just get right to the point and tell them what you got. Don't hem-haw around and, you know, just tell them what you got, period.
Yeah.
Are
four,
they
35 more calls. Yeah. How do you want to handle it?
Okay.
That's his favorite words.
Yeah.
Larry,
thank you.
You were going to say something.
Facing my fears.
Are they calling you?
All right. Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello. Answer my question, please. Are they still calling you?
What?
Are they still calling
they...
you?
No, they stopped. Once I threatened to sue, then they stopped. No, they stopped.
All right, then hit them with all you got.
Yeah,
we'll do. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Yeah.
Hey. All right. We got a rock and roll here. Let's see if we can get a couple more in here real quick. 414, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Good evening.
This is Ken. Yeah, I'll try to be quick. First question is for a friend of mine. He was paying his mortgage, and the bank sent him a notice saying, we've kept your last 5 months' mortgage payments, put it in a separate account, not applied it to your mortgage, and we're sending it back to you. We're foreclosing. In the meantime, they also reported the credit agency that he hadn't paid his mortgage, so he couldn't get a loan to pay it off. Any violations there?
Okay, I guess I'm lost. You're going to have to repeat that and slower.
Okay. Well, all right. A really good friend of mine paying his mortgage, his last 5 months' payments were sent back to him with
okay,
a note
five
saying,
months?
Yes, 5 months. They said, we didn't put it on your mortgage. We put it in a separate non-applied account. He found they reported to the credit agencies that he hadn't paid his mortgage. And they sent it back to him saying we're foreclosing. It was an ARM and they didn't renew it. Sound like a bunch of violations, I think.
Well, if he had an ARM and they chose not to renew, the
I don't think
the
they
amount,
can, though.
It depends on the terms of the mortgage, right, Jesse?
Yeah, it does determine, but if it's anything that has been done lately.
Deal.
Yeah, you know, there you go. That's what I was going to say, Dave. If it's a balloon deal, they could, but generally there's not much of a choice when it comes to.
Okay. Well, he may be listening, so.
Yeah.
I had
I don't
him
know.
Call, tune in. All right.
We're good.
Move on to this. According to a total different subject, I'm being sued by an attorney, a law firm in town here that says they represent Discover. I called this. Let me ignore my other call. Anyway, I'll ignore that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No worries about it. Just talk.
Right.
We're listening.
I got sued by Discover, and this law firm in Milwaukee has the case. I contacted Discover to ask them if they hired the firm, and they didn't respond. I called Discover to check on the balance, and when I punched in all the numbers, they gave me the number of the law firm in town.
Okay.
The same one that's suing you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
is that the Cone
well,
law
I'm
firm
wondering,
by any chance?
Yep, it is. It's Cone.
Yeah, familiar name. Go ahead.
Okay. So before I joined, I mean, I heard about you, but I didn't join until last month.
Okay.
There was a hearing on the 9th of December, and I told the judge, hey, I've been trying to find out if this guy legally represents him, and I can't get any answers. And, in fact, they defaulted on all the things I sent them. I sent the inquiry and notice of fault and default to Discover, because nobody ever responded to tell me if this guy was legitimately hired by them.
Okay. You were using administrative processes there, and they are not going to pay any attention to that.
Okay. Fine. I understand. I've listened to you, and I also probably ticked off the judge because
right.
I sent him a notice of disqualification because he rolled over me in there and didn't.
Yep. He's going to
ignore
it.
For various reasons. Yep. Okay, so
what's your question?
After this, the judge didn't – I received no scheduling order from the court. They said they're going to mail this out. And I didn't receive anything from the court. The judge, you know, put in this big scheduling order deal where it's strung out till July for the trial.
Well, it's the scheduling order, how the case is going to proceed. Right. Okay.
So my question is, I received no order. I got this thing from the attorney given his witness list, and it says the witness list was supposed to be in by a certain date, which I missed because, you know, I didn't get any order
yeah.
from the judge.
From the court.
Or from the court or the clerk, and they're
right.
supposed to send it, as far as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you supposed to know what's going on if they don't send it to you?
Right. So
okay.
What I do with that? That they sent me no order and yet they're proceeding.
Well, I think Jesse,
you would have to move.
Not...
Yeah, you would have to move to court to stop that. Period. For the simple fact that you didn't get notified. You don't have the witness, you don't have anything. How are you gonna proceed?
Right. Okay, motion that judge, even though I sent him a notice of disqualification.
Well, did he qualify?
I want a new judge because he's prejudiced. He's already biased.
Well, that's your opinion.
Your
opinion. But this disqualification stuff just forget that. That's going to have no effect whatsoever.
Right.
But
said,
you got to notice
that this. Right.
Well, the place where you got to start right
you,
now. Is what? Let's get to the answer here because we're trying to get things done.
I'm sorry.
You need to motion the court to I'm trying to think of the right word to hold the proceedings because you were not notified as to what the scheduling was. You did not receive notice from the court. And I think when I put that in there, I would probably put an affidavit with it stating under oath that you did not receive any notification from the court as to the proceedings and therefore were not knowledgeable because of that lapse by the court in sending it to you. You get the idea of what I'm talking about? The words aren't coming out real great here at the moment, but you got to let them know that you didn't get notified.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're being denied due process because they are proceeding on when you don't know, you haven't been noticed of what to expect and what's required of you.
You were prejudiced because you were denied due process.
Right.
Damn it. Why
or maybe not actively
so easy, Larry.
Yeah. Maybe not actively denied. You know, it could have been a mistake, whatever, but... You were not afforded due process for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right. And in the interest of justice, you ask the court to da 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 da. Okay.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Do I need to with Cohn the debt validation letter?
You need to put a debt validation
into
the court. Yeah, you put it into the file, and it's to discover. And then, have you called discovery yet? No, have you called discovery yet and asked them if you owed them anything?
Yeah, and I didn't ask for a person yet. I went through the automated system to get my balance, and they just said, for further information on this account, call the number of Cohn Law Firm.
Yeah.
That's in their recorded system now.
Right. Huh.
Is there any legitimacy to them hiring Cohn, or are they a debt buyer?
Who knows?
I
only in discovery.
I can't answer that for you.
Yeah, only in discovery.
So
you,
yeah.
You know about Cohn, but you're not sure on that. Okay.
They represent Discover and a lot of stuff. That's why it's a familiar name to me. I know other people that have in the area up there in Wisconsin that have been beat up by Cohn.
Okay.
They're just one of the scumbag law firms that represents the companies, and I don't have any specific information that shows that they are a debt buyer versus directly representing Discover.
Yeah.
Although, if you go to Discover and Discover is referring you directly to them, it's more likely that they are in fact representing Discover.
Okay.
Because Discover, Discover does things a little differently than a lot of the companies. They throw all their stuff in trusts, and then they tell people that they've got it back. When in reality, they don't do the paperwork and stuff. But that's something you really got to dig in into stuff if you're going to try and go down that road to defend. But chances are, from what I know, they are probably. Representing Discover.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. No.
Alrighty.
But then, if I sue them under TCPA because of calls they put onto my cell phone, will they have to provide a record of their calls to me?
Well,
yeah, in discovery.
Yeah, you'd have
okay.
to go after that in discovery when you saw.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh. All righty. Thank you. Well, Jesse, we're
that's one.
Past. Yeah, we're past the hour here. Jesse, you want to wrap things up, and then I'll do the announcements.
Sure. Doesn't matter either way you want to do it, buddy. Again, I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. There's not much really to wrap up, Dave. I don't have anything special this evening
okay.
other than thanking everybody and welcoming all our new people. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Got a lot of new callers.
Yeah. We are going to be having a webinar series starting before too long. So everybody get yourself geared up for that. We're going to have some really good stuff coming this year. As far as our weekly schedule goes, to recap for everybody, of course, tomorrow there is a webinar at 3 o'clock Eastern. And who's doing that webinar tomorrow?
That would be me.
Yeah,
that's Larry,
yeah.
And it's case studies. And there's a whole huge archive of case studies that Larry has done. There's just a ton of real good information there. So that'll be another opportunity for you to get in some questions and stuff with Larry tomorrow. That's at 3 o'clock Eastern. Then tomorrow night is Terry's call. If you are not on her email list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just simply say, I want to be on the list. Please do it tonight. Do not wait until tomorrow afternoon, because chances are you won't get the email. You won't get the reminder. So get that done right away so she can get that out to you. Then, of course, on Mondays is Dallas Debt Discussion. We're going on 5 years. Never missed a Monday on that. That's another support call for what we're doing. That is still on TalkShoe. The PIN for that is 54318, and that starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's 1 hour later than the calls tonight and tomorrow night. So that's the roundup for all of our calls. All you guys that are not members that are listening to this, get yourselves in to membership so that you can really get a better benefit out of these calls, because this isn't a substitute for being a member. We've said that many times, and you're going to get bits and pieces here. You're not going to get the full program. You're not going to have access to everything you really need. And the other thing is, for all of the members, don't forget to use the forum. When you've got questions in these gaps between the calls, use the forum and get your answers there, because that's beneficial to all the members. And everybody, there's 3 years' worth of information in there, 3 years' worth of questions and answers. So thousands upon thousands. Utilize it. So with that said, I think we're done for tonight.
Yeah, guys, thank you for joining us. God bless everybody. And, again, we'll see you tomorrow, some of you, at 3 o'clock.
All righty. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.